You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Sarah Stoller. Sarah, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sarah, what's happening in your studio at the moment? What are you working on? I know we could talk about also a show you recently had, but what are you doing in your studio to begin with?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to talk about my most current project because I'm just winding down from a long 3-year multidisciplinary project and a couple exhibitions. And so I always feel like when I have it's always a good opportunity to kind of start fresh when you have a big show or some success in a project. So I'm kind of down a rabbit hole now on a multidisciplinary project centered around the 5 stages of grief. And I'm kind of rooting the concept in this idea of a nightclub. And this really kind of comes out, I'll talk about the conceptual side of it first, and then I'll talk about what the work actually looks like.
Okay.
Kind of rooted in this idea of the death ritual or the keening women that date back to Greco-Roman times and actually on Sunday.
What was that?
I'm sorry? The keening? Keening, yeah. K-E-E-N-I-N-G. The keening women.
What is that exactly before we move on? Because that sounds interesting and I don't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. So these women are mourners that are hired or invited or on their own accord will mourn for the dead and hold the sorrow for the family and the community. And this dates back to Greco-Roman era and has been kind of revived in many cultures. And currently I'm actually going to Ireland on Sunday and I'll be researching the specific keening women of that area and going to the Dublin Music Archive to listen to some recordings and so forth. But so that's kind of the general idea, is that they kind of hold the sorrow, they inhabit this realm between the living and the dead, they kind of possess a divine madness, if you will. And
but these are real people, real women.
Yeah, they're real people. Yeah, and this tradition doesn't continue today, but I'm interested in how it evolved into this kind of idea of the merry wake, which involves a lot of sex, a lot of gluttonous food and drinking and game playing, very kind
the
of
merry
chaotic
wake,
part.
You said, as in the ceremony after a funeral, the merry wake? Because I haven't heard that term either.
Yeah. So the merry wake is this kind of party that happens in the presence of the corpse. So you have to bear with me a little bit because, like I said, this is a very brand new project and I'm just diving into the research. But
yes, keep going. No, keep going into it. But that was good to get a handle on just those two things, right? The merry wake.
Yeah.
People are all part of the stages of grief. So, yeah.
So I kind of imagine this almost this kind of seedy, dark underworld that inhabits a kind of party that represents the 5 stages of grief, where you might go to grieve something that you've lost. So the working title of the project is called The Grief Club, and it encompasses representational oil paintings, large scale of very kind of close-in women that look something like go-go dancers or circus artists, sad clowns. There's kind of a tragic glitter aesthetic, if you will. There's neon work that I'm working with David O. Johnson from Leafcutter Studio in Los Angeles to create some neon signage. And now this won't be an actual physical club, but this is, if you can kind of think about it as an overarching theme.
Okay.
Yeah, and so there are some performance aspects to it, video aspects, and again, it's in the very beginning stages, but there are some early pictures on my Instagram now if anyone is interested in checking out what I'm up to.
Okay, so there'll be links to that in the article, of course, and let's go through that a little more. You said this is, you're exploring five stages of grief, and it seems like we've talked about a few of them. What are the five stages of grief? That sounds like they'll all be represented. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're going to be represented, and they're going to be personified. So each stage of grief will be represented by a woman who inhabits this club, who is one of the keening women. So it's based on the Kubler-Ross model, which is this model that she kind of developed on death and dying, and the idea is that you move through these five stages of grief in this order. It's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. What we understand now, this was written in 1969, what we understand now is that it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't go in order. And anyone who's experienced deep loss or grief knows that you can be in denial today and acceptance tomorrow, depression the next day. So it's interesting because my research, I kind of will follow a path. I kind of get on an idea, I'll follow a path, and I was already going to a residency in Ireland. I'm going to Cowhouse Studios out in the country near Wexford, and I just started researching death in Ireland, and that's when I fell upon the story of the Keening women in Ireland. And it just is interesting how creative concepts will, you know, when you kind of put the intention out there, you find what you're looking for. So it really is kind of helping to shape the body of work right now.
You mean these visits that you're doing, the research that you're doing is shaping
the research that I'm doing. Yeah, that's right. And I want there to be kind of a little bit of an ironic or some touch on dark humor as well. I'm kind of toying around right now with making, I'm working on some block prints that are kind of like flyers for the club advertising for each one of these personified stages of grief. So, for example, let's see, I have some notes here. Press your luck with bargaining every Thursday at midnight or something like that. So the idea is that it is kind of creating this sort of party-like atmosphere, but in a place to grieve. So dealing with that juxtaposition.
And so how will, let's say, I mean, I know this is in progress and you're researching, but this, the whole five stages, will it happen at different times? Will it all be in one venue? Is this kind of multiple mediums that you'll be working with? Can you, how will it manifest itself? And
yeah,
I know that's,
I mean,
sort
I think
of beyond
what,
where you're
be,
at right now, but.
Sorry, could you repeat that last part?
No, I know that's beyond where you're at now, but yeah, just how will it all manifest itself is what I'm curious about, because it seems like there's potentially so much involved, and as you're saying, it's personified as well as,
yeah.
there's performance involved and interaction and a lot of elements, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I really kind of am thinking about a multidisciplinary exhibition. So it's important that I make the distinction that while it's called the Grief Club, it's not a club. It's an exhibition of work. It's a research project that looks like large-scale drawings that are figurative. My first and true love and the work that I showed at the Alcoves is large-scale figurative oil painting. And so I'm still working in that method and that mode with the figures. And when I say that the stages are personified, they're personified in performance and video, but primarily in visual, in two-dimensional visual art. So as a painting, for example, or a drawing.
And where will all this take place? What's the idea of?
Oh goodness, I don't know, but I'm certainly open to.
So the venue is to be determined.
Usually, when I start into a new project like this, it's at least a year before I'm ready to get there. Yeah.
And to talk a little bit about how this started. This is, of course, is a very ambitious project. A very kind of intimate and intense one that'll be I guess we would say now, like, triggering for some people, right? This is an extremely sensitive subject.
Death and grief and loss is really taboo. And what's really interesting is, as I've started to work in this work and started to put some images out on Instagram, I have been getting a lot of questions. What are you doing? What is this about? People are interested, and I think it's something collective that we all share as human beings. It would be hard-pressed to say that anyone has moved through life and not experienced some sort of loss. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical death of a human being. It could be a loss of many things, and any, you know, something emotional. So yeah, it is. And so how did I get here? I am responding to my current sociopolitical climate. I'm responding to my own autobiographical story. I lost my father. My mother, who is a very well-respected artist, Marlene Shane, who went to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and owned an art school in Cincinnati, Ohio, where she is responsible for almost $1 million in scholarship money and putting students out into the best art schools across the country, is suffering from advanced stage Alzheimer's and lives with me and still makes work every day. And so just kind of watching that. And then as I move through big projects, when they come to a close, there's often that kind of sense of loss, and I'm coming off a large-scale multidisciplinary project called the Bella Ribbons Project, and that's also the website for the project, and that was a deep 3-year investment that was centered around the story of a young girl who moves through kind of a march towards her impending womanhood and then a loss of innocence. And so I kind of really feel like this is an extension, or not an extension, but this project, that the Bella Ribbons Project, was definitely a springboard for this project. Mm. I see it as the next stage, further in the future. The Bella Ribbons Project was innocent, and the aesthetic was vast. It was pulled out, big landscapes and light, ethereal color. And so with this, I'm kind of going in the complete opposite direction, zooming in really close, embracing more darkness, and a little more internal.
I'm glad you shared that, and I want to say I'm sorry to hear about your father, and thank you for sharing that about your mother. Yeah, those were of course enormously powerful experiences to go through, and you know, there's one more that you brought up there, which. It's so interesting because I've been just thinking about this recently. If I understood what you were saying right, is sometimes after a show, after an artist has a big exhibition of some kind, and I heard this from two artists lately, that there's this almost kind of a grief or a sadness when a show comes down, and it's not about it being successful or not, like things sold or didn't sold or connected with the audience or not, but just being down, you know? And were you touching on that? Because that does seem to also be, and I haven't talked to any artists about this, but a peculiarly kind of a phenomena that affects artists, right? Post-show.
Yeah, it affects artists, and it also affects performers. I'm also I'm kind of not actively doing it now, but for a long time was a performer on stage. And so I think that when you move through what's called kind of like post-show blues. I think that's especially true when you're working collaboratively and the whole thing kind of, you know, it's time to wind it all down and you've like been deep in this thing for a long time, you know. And so I think it's kind of heightened when there's collaborators added to it and goes beyond a couple paintings in a show. I mean, even that can create some kind of post-show blues, but I don't know. It was a big commitment, and so it's a really, like I said, in turning it to how do I deal with it is really about, it's a really good opportunity and time to make a shift.
But that's such a different kind of grief.
Who,
I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but opposed to a loss, because I want to explore that more, you know, it seems hard to explain that to other people almost. And I'd love if you could provide some clarity on this. You know, when there's a loss of a person, a loved one, we all understand to some degree what someone's going through. When an artist or performer gets the blues after a show, it almost seems like it doesn't make sense, right? They just had a show. It was great. It was loved. Yet it's almost not universal, but extremely common that the person is mourning, is grieving.
Yes.
Why? What are they? Yeah. What is it? What is the difference there? What are they
grieving?
I think
it is. You know, I can't speak for any other artist. I can only speak for myself. And I can say that I don't have children. And so for me, I'm also a very process studio-based artist. And I spend a lot of time alone. I'm an educator, and I get all of my kind of fill of engagement from my students. But I really can spend 8, 12, 15 hours in the studio working. And I think that it feels a little bit like a birth to me when I make work, and then I nurture it. It grows. I'm using this kind of funny metaphor of the child, but it really does feel that way to me. And then the show is the... I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I can't put myself. I can't really.
Yeah, I think it's okay to, you know, I've often referred to it as this kind of like postpartum like depression, right? That women feel sometimes after having a baby. I mean, is that where you're going with it? It could be that.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens to men as well, and it's the same. I mean, but that's as good a theory as any, that it's kind of like giving birth to something, and there's, for whatever reason, that happens after giving birth. It's similar to the same way after a show. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. And I love your metaphor to postpartum, because that's really beautiful, and it's interesting because I just made an image for this project that references kind of art and motherhood. It's also on the on my social media. But I think it also has to do with this idea of, as an artist, there's always more. There's always... we can always continue to work and keep digging. So there's a lot that I feel could have kept happening, or like with every project, even though the show doesn't necessarily mark an end, right? The work lives on unless it's ephemeral. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's this, like, what could have been done differently, or what else could have been done, or how could it have been better? And
or maybe none of those things, just like with having a child.
Or maybe none of those things.
Maybe
it's
not because
you did anything
wrong.
Maybe it's just like saying goodbye to this concept and this story, this narrative, and opening a new package.
It's such an interesting... concept, which, you know, seems like we could almost spend more time talking about, but we have to, you know, end in a moment. But I think that, you know, it's now that we're talking about that, it also leads to other things, right? Just as grieving can lead to a kind of, you know, depression or something that takes much longer perhaps to recover from, if ever, the same with exhibitions for artists, right? I think there's legendary stories about just that happening to artists, not even getting over that kind of grieving potentially because of unknown reasons, right? That it then snowballs into something else.
Well, and that's why for me, art making is highly cathartic. In my personal experience, I don't make art for that sole purpose, but it definitely is an outlet and a way for me to kind of take all that I feel and all that came out of the previous work and put it forward into the next body of work. And so in that sense, each thing can kind of grow from the next. And so while there's a grief, there's a new life also.
I like that. Thank you for talking with me about that. And I want to ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
Well, I have to say, I don't have the best answer for you because it's my third read right now of The Power by Naomi Alderman. I wish I could say that I was reading something brand new, but I'm really kind of obsessed with this book. And so I'm on my third read of The Power.
I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.